If you do any prospecting with LinkedIn, you have got to go get set up with Surf. That's Surfe. It's a tool you can use to add new contacts to your CRM system directly from LinkedIn in seconds. I'm using it every single day. I add contacts, follow my deals, keep track of notes, and it ends up saving me a bunch of time on prospecting and outreach, which means I can spend more time moving my deals along. The data is always 100% accurate since I don't have to copy and paste all the fields over from each and every contact that I want to put in my CRM. Instead, Surf does that all automatically with just one click in about 60 seconds. The team over at Surf has put together a very special offer for fans of Sales Players. There's a link down in the show notes and you can use the promo code JWSURF5. Don't forget the E at the end of Surf. That's JWSURF5. For 5% off your first year. Don't spend another minute doing things manually. Go get set up with Surf.
This episode is sponsored by Apollo, a tool that's helping me to open doors and close deals faster. Wanted to share it with you. Apollo is a complete end-to-end sales platform, letting you email, dial, connect on social, build plays, and schedule meetings. With conversational intelligence, transcribing my calls lately, and reminding me to act on my next steps to drive deals across the finish line, it's been a lifesaver. It's no wonder Apollo is the most loved sales tool on the planet. Thousands of users rank Apollo as a top tool on G2. Start today completely free and see how Jesse and I use Apollo. Sign up in the show notes below or at thesalesplayers.com/Apollo. That's thesalesplayers.com/APOLLO to start your free trial.
And we're live.
We are live for the IRL episode, which, PSA, Jesse and I have never met, so I don't know if Jesse's real or not.
Yeah, that is something that we have on our to-do list this year, is to actually meet in person. We've obviously talked on the phone and through Zoom and everything else, I don't know, thousands of times probably over the last couple of years.
Huddled.
A lot of huddling
going on.
I went back into our old messages and I saw that you reached out to me in 2021. So damn, it's been a couple of years now. It time really flew by. It didn't feel like it had been that long ago that we connected, but we've been connected since 21 and we still haven't met each other in person.
This is, you've built something here. And I think that just talking about that and what we're going to be talking about today is, how do you create that relationship even virtually and post-pandemic in real life and going to these shows, like actually meeting. So let's talk about it.
Yeah. So this episode came very highly requested. A few days ago, we put out an episode about our top three pipeline sources for the year. And one of them that I think we both overlapped on was doing more in person with prospects, doing more events, more trade shows. Micro events is one of the terms we covered on the show, which is, you know, if you live in Columbus, you're inviting a group of your buyers out to a pub in Columbus somewhere and meeting with, you know, three or four people that could buy your product, right? So micro events, trade shows, really anything. And so we thought we would share a couple of ideas. We actually mentioned this in the episode that we were going to do a whole separate episode just on trade show prospecting. And the catalyst behind this is, it has been a few years since trade shows were in full swing. And this, to me, feels like the first year where a lot of the companies that put on really big in-person events are now back at it. Because of the pandemic, a lot of them shifted to digital events. And it was a lot harder to prospect for those because, let's face it, it's not as fun to go and log into like a virtual Zoom and attend a keynote through your computer, right? It's way cooler to go to, I don't know, Vegas or Austin or Seattle or wherever, and, you know, go out and drink afterwards and really network and meet people and share experiences with them. So I'll share my perspective on this. Is I'm actually going back to several years ago in my career, pre-pandemic, when I was at a company that invested pretty heavily in trade shows. I'm back at a company like that now, where actually I was telling Chase over the next 2 months, I'm on the road 4 times. So very excited about that. I'm going to be getting on some planes and heading to some different cities to do some events. So my expertise is really more in like the enterprise events where you've got a specific vertical that shows up to a trade event, very specific, but it's kind of networking with the executives at this event. And then Chase, he's more on the, like, you have a bunch of local meetups under your belt, and you've also networked a lot with the local tech community where you're at. So I think both are valuable. One for, you know, not only career, but for any consulting or those kind of things, just networking. And then the other one very specifically for if you're in a role right now, like an SDR role or an AE role, and you're trying to work an event or a trade show, we're going to talk about the best ways to do that. What did I miss?
Where's the plane ticket? You know, let's get into a bourbon tasting. That's one of the things that I really would love to do here is get a group of people and do a bourbon tasting, you know, over tech bourbon tasting.
The tech, the sales players derby in Kentucky.
That's going to be a, yeah.
Yeah. So let's dive into it. I want to actually start with you, Chase. Tell us a bit about some of the events you went to last year. I know there were several times over the course of the year where I saw on LinkedIn or social that you were up on stage. You introduced me to several people last year that you met at various SaaS events and tech events in your community. Talk to us about your process for finding those, meeting people at those, following up afterwards, and anything else you can share about how to make the most of an event like that.
Yeah. Great question. And one of the things when I first contacted you back, I guess in 2021, is I reached out to in Louisville where I was living in Kentucky, and I live in Kentucky, and I would consider where we are a flyover country, and that's what they call us, is like basically we're not on the coast. Is there tech, you know? And what I did is I first made a call to a person that I'd met a long time ago when I had my valet company. I would do a lot of networking events with it's called the GLI, Greater Louisville Chamber of Commerce. And what this did is I met this guy, Jordan. His name's Jordan Clements. He's awesome. He's like a super connector. Yeah. He does all these in-person events, and it's this guy's job for the city of Louisville to connect people. And he'll host events, has things at coffee shops, but then they'll do bigger events. Like they brought in Jamie Dimon from Chase Bank a long time ago, and would do like a big like networking event luncheon. So that was my entrance into just ground to ground networking and just trying to build my network without spending a lot of money.
Yeah. What did you do as far as, was there typically like admission costs to go to some of these events, or do you lean towards the free ones?
So both. There were actually groups, like I looked at, there was a co-working facility called Story Louisville that would host events. I would look on Eventbrite in my local area to see, are there, you know, local either tech events, networking events, whatever. I would go to those. I would talk to these people. Then there was another one that was called Venture Connectors that was, I think it was $50 to go there. I would pay for it. I just paid for it out of my own pocket.
Yeah, 50's not bad for an admission.
But the biggest thing is like you can go to these events and you can get nothing from them.
Right.
Or you can go to these events and you can get something from them.
Now, are you exchanging business cards with people? Are you very much like an evangelist where you're walking up to people and like shaking their hand? And I used to do this, by the way. A fun story is I was at a trade show a number of years ago, and a longer story that I'm not going to get into on this podcast is in a former life, I was a missionary. And so I can get very evangelical, meaning I am not afraid to walk up to someone on the street or knock on someone's door or go to a trade show and walk around and just introduce myself to random people that are walking by. And I don't know if it worked or not. I do feel like that was probably one of the more successful shows we did, because at the end of it, I had a bunch of people's business cards, and this would have been back in like 2016. So I'm curious if you have something like that you do where you go up and, you know, tap someone on the shoulder, or you go sit by someone at the bar and offer to buy them a round or something.
Yeah, I would say I don't go to these events to try to get a quantity, like just a ton. If there's 1,000 people, if there's 100 people in a room, I'm not trying to meet every person. But what I am trying to do is I'm trying to make one-to-one connections. So I have no problem walking up to a person and striking up a conversation. And what I like about these like cocktail events, or if there's a luncheon or something, or there's a bar event, get a drink, stay with the person, get personal, ask about them. Why are they there? How can you help them? And then what also I would start to do is, I was in these more startup venture backed VC companies, and I would see these founders that were off in the area and not look like they were connected with anybody. And I always look for those type of people, and I just try to welcome them and just say, hey man, how can I help you? Why are you here? And I did this at this Startup Grind event, and I would just continuously go to these Startup Grind events. And I basically went there for a full year. And then they finally asked me, hey Chase, would you join our board and you could be a speaker? And so that's where he saw me on the stage. And consistency. And that's another thing with these events. Like, you can go one time and, you know, you're in and out, might know somebody. But I think that if these events are consistent, you got to consistently go and you meet the people who are running these events and become friends with them and start to network with those people and see how you can add value. And that might even be like showing up early and putting chairs up. It might be showing up late and putting chairs away. That's really where the connection for me happens.
So for listeners out there who might be new to the idea of getting out, so I'll back up a little bit. A lot of our listeners might have started their sales career during the pandemic. If they started their career in 2020, 2021 and beyond, they may have, at this point, have not had a lot of at-bats in terms of in-person events or meetings. Where would you suggest someone get started if they want to find local events, whether that's tech related or sales related or in their industry, right? So if they sell to DevOps or marketing or operations or customer service, where could they potentially find events where they can go network with peers in their industry and also potential prospects?
And this is a hack that I found is the University of Louisville, the University of Kentucky have full-on departments for startups and small business and entrepreneurship. So that they are hosting events all the time. So the university that you're close to, they're hosting events all the time. And a lot of times they're free. And it's a great place to network. And especially like if you're selling in tech, you can go there. If you're selling into healthcare, you can start to network your way in. And it really can help you to understand your buyer. Another place is like the SBDC, which is the Small Business Development Center. Every city has that. And so it's a free resource as a paying citizen of the United States. You can go to this place and they'll provide you free coaching. They'll make recommendations. They have events, stuff like that. So I would just recommend like going to that, your chamber of commerce and your co-working facilities. Like, I love the idea. I can't remember the guy that was on your show at the end of the year, who's going to be doing this co-working space.
Yeah. Vince is out in North Carolina, Raleigh, and he's doing sales HQ out there. So for listeners who want to get in person with other like-minded sellers, go check out what he's doing. I think it's like saleshq.com. You can go back and listen to that episode. His name is Vince Beasy.
And just like things like that, there's people that are hosting events. If you were a founder and you're looking to get more in touch with your community or buyer, I really recommend like nonprofit fundraisers and figuring out like where your buyers at these fundraisers and paying the high ticket, which it could be a $150 ticket, or it could be, you know, it could be going to a Derby gala dinner. It could be $5,000 for a table, but it can sometimes get you to have that one-to-one conversation with that person that you're looking to talk to.
Yeah. No, this is great stuff. I actually had no idea about that SBDC.
Yeah. And we'll put that in the show notes. It's called the SBDC. Very great resource.
I hadn't thought about the fundraiser type events. I have not actually leveraged that at all or attended those as much as I'd like to. So that may be one that I try to put in practice this year in 24.
Another one I know people are going to probably shake their heads at it, but it's political fundraisers as well. This is where some of the biggest deals in the business go down.
Yeah.
I have seen some crazy, as a valet, this is the things that I used to see in the valet world. I would see the biggest deals of the state go down at these parties.
That's interesting. And I don't disagree with that. So yeah, I guess, you know, whatever side of the aisle you're on, look into meetups. What do they do when a politician goes around and like speaks in people's like living rooms and stuff?
Well, it's like a dinner. Like they have their dinner. Yeah.
Open house.
Well, they do like
a dinner.
A town hall, or like you can
town
host.
Hall,
you can host. Yeah. You can host a politician. And just to let you know this, I didn't know this. I didn't grow up in this world, but a lot of the people that are going to these events are going both to the Republican and Democrat side. So you don't have to just pick one side. You can play both sides. So
interesting.
You can be, you know, if you're selling to both sides, go to both events if you have the dollars.
Yeah. I'm apolitical when it comes to sales. I'm like, just let me sell you something and let me add value to you. And if you're a paying customer, then you're a paying customer, and I'm not going to ask questions, you know, as long as it's nothing, you know, under the table illegal. Right.
Yeah. So, right. I'm the same way, stance. Jesse. That's my stance. Apolitical. As long as it's green, you know, it doesn't matter. And you know, it's interesting. I think that marketing, this is going to be a whole other episode of just talking about marketing and how marketing is saying like, oh, this is a marketing qualified lead versus a sales qualified lead. Sure. It's like, who cares? Money's green. If they're paying money, they're a customer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me share a few. First of all, just to riff off of what you're saying about some of the local meetups, and I want to shout out some places in Austin because I spent a number of years of my career, my early career in Austin. I wish I'd spent more time in some other cities, but unfortunately, you know, for anyone who's out there listening in another city that's not, you know, Louisville or Austin or I guess Phoenix, then you'll have to go and research what the local hubs are for your industry and for your, you know, specific vertical, right? So when I was in Austin, Capital Factory was a really cool, I don't know if you've heard of Capital Factory, but
yeah,
they are like the hub of anything tech in Austin. And that was for me a really good starting point right when I moved there. They do free open house type stuff. All right.
Gordon Daugherty. He's one of the guys. Yeah.
From Capital Factory. So they host some cool people. Like they hosted Bob Metcalf because he lives in Austin. Bob Metcalf invented the Ethernet. Random, but he's like, he'll come out. They've had, I think, Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple. I think it's every Thursday night they used to do it where they, you know, you come, you get some beer, you network with people. What's cool about it for the business folks is there's a lot of technical people that you can network with. And that's a good skill to develop in sales, is especially tech sales, is if you want to sell to technical people, then it's good to have a couple of technical friends that you can call on for advice. And so Capital Factory, I highly recommend, as you said, the colleges, because University of Texas always had a bunch of stuff for startups, for tech, for sales and business, local business. And I went to a couple different meetups when I lived in Austin for the University of Texas at Austin. I haven't done as much of that here in Arizona, but I know there's similar programs at the colleges here. And then there was some different like trade groups and things like that. One of the things that I did early on when I started to establish what category of SaaS I wanted to sell into, and my focus for the last several years has been CX and customer service leaders. And so I actually joined an organization called CXPA, and they do meetups all over the country. Mm. And it's contact center leaders who are my buyer persona will show up to those. And I don't do any hard selling at these events. I really genuinely go to try to understand what their day-to-day looks like, what kind of challenges they want to solve, what kind of things they're interested in. And it gives me just a bunch of, you know, content, and it gives me a lot more acumen and credibility when I do finally meet with some of these executives. I know exactly what's going on. I'm up to speed on the industry. So I would recommend, if you're selling to a specific type of buyer, go figure out what trade organizations they're part of that are local and that meet up in person. And again, don't necessarily hard prospect into these, but they're a great chance to go and learn and sort of more slowly build relationships with some people that might be buyers or prospects for you. So, and then a while back when I was at a startup, we were in a really good habit in Austin of going to like these, like I don't want to call it like a homebrew. It's more like a hackers meetup. So if you sell to technical buyers, there's probably a hacker meetup in your town somewhere. You should figure out what that is. And again, you don't want to go in guns blazing and like try to sell to everybody in that room.
Give everybody,
but you want to go and understand what lights the room up, like what topics are making people super interested, and then do some slow networking and build some very long-term relationships that will then hopefully help you sell better in your day job.
And Jesse, I mean, how much off the top of your head was it to join that trade association? Was it high? Was it low?
It was free. Oh, it was totally, yeah, it was completely free. It's free event, free organization.
Wow.
I think there's tiers within it. So levels within it, like you could be an executive member, like a gold member or whatever, and that probably has like an annual due. I don't pay that. If I ever did have to, I'd probably ask my employer to pay it or help me cover it, just because it's a pipeline generation thing. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm just a free member of that organization. There's a bunch of them. There's one in every category, and a lot of them are free.
Yeah. And so Jesse, would you have any physical items when you would take, like, what would be your uniform going to these events? If this is my first event, I'm going to this, what do I need to have?
Let's see, cell phone, business casual attire, you know, try to dress a little nicer, unless it's like a hacker meetup, and then hoodie and sneakers, maybe joggers or sweatpants. You don't want to overdress at the hacker meetups. Trust me. I was usually the guy that would overdress at those, and it wasn't very popular. You want to wear like a hoodie to that. So yeah, just a cell phone, a notepad, and your full attention. But I don't bring too much. I try not to bring materials for my company. I could bring a printout or something like that. But more importantly, I try to go, and when I meet somebody, I try to connect with them on LinkedIn. We were talking offline about, I think most people know about this already, but just in case there's someone out there listening that doesn't realize, there's a QR feature where you can sort of bump your phone into somebody's.
Yeah.
Or they can take, I think they take a picture of it.
They take a picture of it. You go to the, you got to go to the, let's do it right now. It's like, you got to go to, so you got to be ready. You got to have your phone ready. So you unlock your phone, you go to LinkedIn, and then you click the search bar, and over to the far right, you'll see the little QR code icon. I don't know if it's going to show up on the screen.
So here, if you're watching this on video, I've got Chase's QR. At an event, an in-person event, I could just use my camera, scan that, and then it's an auto follow, right? So I automatically start following you.
But not automatic connection.
So a good follow-up after an event would be to go through and look at who you recently followed and make sure you're connected, or send them a follow-up note of some sort. That's always a good idea. Back in the day, I used to capture business cards. I would come mm-hmm. home from an event. One of the ones that we did a years ago was out in Southern California, out in Palm Springs. And I would come home with just a stack of business cards in my hand. And then I would go through and manually enter all the emails into Salesforce. This was back then though. So now it's probably a little easier with like the digital tools that are available. But also, if someone's got a business card, take their business card.
Yep.
And maybe bring a few of your own too. I know it's old school, but it doesn't hurt. Not everybody has the mobile LinkedIn app downloaded on their phone, especially if you're selling into a more traditional category. Like if you're not selling to other salespeople or marketers or people that are savvy on LinkedIn, then you probably want to have a more traditional way to stay in touch with somebody.
So Jesse, I want to talk about this also. My wife brought this up to me the other night.
Yeah.
So my mom came over to have lunch with us, and she was like, what are you doing for your new job? And I just said, I work in attribution software. And Jamie's like, she doesn't know what attribution software is. So you really got to work on, I have to work on this of just dumbing down and making sure, like when you're introducing yourself to a new person, that you really can hook them and you're able to show them in a easy, simple way what you do.
That's a really great point. Yeah, that's a great point. One of the things I used to do before going to an event was craft a very short story. I don't even want to call it an elevator pitch because that's even too formal.
Mm-hmm.
More like a cocktail pitch. Like if you sat next to someone at the bar and they asked you, what do you do? Or what does your company do? What would you say in a very like casual but more oriented on stories versus like we create award-winning experience, you know, like you don't want to do the elevator pitch where it's like, we solve the world's problems with development ops software that is extensible. And like, you don't want to go, you don't want to do that at a trade show. You're going to get, someone's going to like walk away from you if that happens. So can you come up with a story and maybe even a question to lead? So let's say you meet someone at a trade show, or maybe you're at the bar or something like that at a trade show, and someone sits next to you and says, what does your company do? Oh, well, hey, have you ever had a really great customer service experience? Well, no. Oh, okay. Well, that's a problem. Let me tell you about how we change that for people by, you know, using multiple channels to help solve, you know, the customer issues really quickly. So come up with some stories and some tangible examples, and don't just spew out like the first three sentences, feature. The jargon.
Be a future preacher, buddy. Don't be a future preacher.
Yeah, I used to call it techno babble. You don't want to get into like the, well, we're the most extensible DevOps with scalable operation. You know, you don't want to do that. So just don't do that.
500 million AR in the lab.
Yeah. And we recently raised funding. Like, you know sorry. I've never done impersonations on the show, but well, I'm hey, full of them.
Well, okay. So let's get it out, Jesse. So yeah, I think that's one thing. I was actually in this group. It was called H7, and H7 is an amazing virtual networking group. And Clay Hicks, the founder there, he has this, like, when you're introducing yourself, you have to introduce yourself in three words.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they have like 100 people in these meetings, and it's amazing. You know, three words can be really impactful. So I would challenge you to think about, how would you describe your business in three words?
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, if everybody went in and they were like, we're the world's first scalable.
Boom, you're out. You're out. It's like, you're out. Okay, you're done. Yeah.
So, let's get into some of the tactical stuff here, because again, this is an area where in the past I've seen some awesome pipeline get generated from events. So I want to get into a couple of ways that you can prepare for an event. And a lot of listeners out there, again, are heading into trade show season. This might be the first time, at least in a while, that they've had to prospect into trade shows, because we've been closed down for the last several years mm-hmm. with the pandemic. There's just not been as many of them. So I'll share these from the perspective of someone who is either prospecting into an event or planning to attend an event. How can you make the most out of it? How can you build pipeline and follow up with the people that you connect with at this show? So the first thing that I'm going to tell everyone to do is back to what we were just talking about, which is you need to kind of take the feature. What did you call it? Feature creature, or it
was feature preacher, man.
Feature preacher. Don't be a feature preacher. Like, you need to like go walk outside for a while and try to remove all your company's jargon out of your head, and take yourself back to middle school when someone would put on like a really awesome party. Maybe it was like, you know, a house party or a rager of some sort. I don't know if that word still gets used, but go back to those days when parties used to happen when you were younger. Like, what things made you want to go to those parties? We got to go back to like the human psychology basics, because too many people are like, hey, our company that does scalable DevOps is going to be at this, you know, whatever. And then people are like, I'm not going to go and listen to you drone on about scalable DevOps. I want to go and connect with people. So here's why people go to trade shows. Here's why your buyers are going to trade shows. They actually want to network with their peers. They don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. They want to go network with the peers in their industry. You know why? Because someday they're going to be looking for a job, and they want to have a bunch of people in their own network that they can call on when they, you know, let's say they're working at a big, you know, big box brand or something like that. They want to meet other people that work at big box brands that someday might recruit them over to work for them for a higher pay. That's what they want to do. They want to meet with their own peers. I have talked to some of my prospects and some executives, and they've said, you know, trade shows are a chance for us to go and see what technologies or what tools are out there for us or what solutions are out there for us. So there is an element of that they're out on the market looking at what's out there. And so you need to be aware that they are doing that also. But the key thing for them is they want to go have fun. They want to go network with their peers. And then they want to go and learn a little bit about what's around the curve, right? So most of these events will have breakout sessions where there's different keynote speakers and presentations and things like that. And they want to go and learn about what AI is going to do for scalable DevOps, right? They're not going to, and I'm sorry for the scalable DevOps companies out there. I don't even know if that, I'm just kind of making that up on the fly here, but So try to get into the psychology of why folks are already going to events, then reach out and use those. So let's say it's your own company's event that you're putting on. You want to hit on the fact that their peers will be there. They're going to learn about industry trends, and it's a chance to go have fun, and they can expense this, right? For the most part. So focus on the things that are like, what's in it for them? Well, they get to network, they get to hear what's going on in the industry, and they get to go have some fun on the company's dime, right? So then I always use LinkedIn. It's probably my number one source for trade shows. It's where I've had the most success. I go and I start to email people an invitation, mm-hmm. and I do things like, hey, well, I see you in Palm Springs next month as the subject line in the LinkedIn or in the email. You can do email too. Calling into trade show attendees is kind of funky, but I would do that as well. I mean, use all channels you have available, but LinkedIn's one that I seem to find a pretty good response rate to. So where do you find out who's going to these shows? Most of these events will have a mobile app, and they'll put that out a few weeks or months before the show. And a lot of times the other users or the other attendees in the app, they'll basically put the attendees in the app. So you'll see everyone who's attending will have their own profile, and there'll be a directory of profiles. So that's a starting point. It's a bit manual because sometimes you've got to go take that out of the app and go search for the person in LinkedIn and then send them an email saying, hey, am I going to see you in Palm Springs next month? And, you know, here's why we should meet up while we're in town.
But so doing that, putting in that legwork and being prepared just makes it a better event for both you and the other person, because then they have something to look forward to and you're setting the stage.
It does. And not only will you probably set up some meetings ahead of the event, so that way if you're going or if you're, you know, your team is going, you can coordinate a bunch of in-person meetings, then it makes it really easy to follow up. Something that we did once that got us 100, I'm not kidding, 100 meetings at an event. This was years ago. We offered to, if people would give us 30 minutes of their time, we bought them an Amazon Echo. This is when Echoes were like the hot thing. They're not anymore, but
I love my Echo.
We didn't buy the Echoes, by the way. We just said, we'll give you an Echo if you meet with us. It was very conditional. And then when they showed up for the meeting, we would get their address and phone number and stuff. And we'd say, yeah, we'll mail you your Echo. And we did. We mailed them the Echoes after the event. But we didn't have to invest anything. That was like, you know, guerrilla marketing at its finest. And we got 100 meetings that way once with executives in retail. And many of those people I'm still connected to today, because I went to this event and I was there for, you know, the vast majority of those meetings, helping to facilitate them. So get creative. Like, what guerrilla marketing things can you do to hook someone in and give them some incentive to meet with you in person?
Let's shift gears here, Jesse, and let me ask you a question. If you were a AE or an SDR trying to book some meetings, I think that this is an excellent opportunity for SDRs, even like in like remote SDRs, to go to these events and try to book drum up a bunch of ICP demos. So how would you go about getting these demos?
Well, this is what I'm doing right now. I'm very focused right now on events. My play this year is working back channels. So if I know people that are going to be at the event, I'm trying to find who knows who's going to be there. I'm using LinkedIn, as I said. So I'm going through, like I said, a few weeks before the show, usually you'll get invited to be in the app for that event. For most events, for the bigger events, like the big conferences, mm-hmm. for any industry, there's going to be a mobile app where they have the agenda for the show. They have all the breakout sessions listed in there. They have, like, you know, a place for you to enter your dietary restrictions and stuff. That, like, every event tends to have a mobile app. And so what I'll do is I'll go in and I'll find the people that are going, that are in my account list. I'll go connect with them on LinkedIn or follow them on LinkedIn, shoot them an email and say, am I going to see you in Vegas next week? And again, I have a pretty high response rate on that because I focus on the psychology. It's not on the, will I see you in Vegas next week? Because I can't wait to tell you about my scalable DevOps product. It's, will I see you in Vegas next week? I know you're going to be really busy networking with your peers, but I thought this might be a great opportunity for us to meet. And then if you can give them something, give them some value. And again, in the past, I've been on teams that have gone as far as, let's give them an actual product, an Amazon Echo at the time, or I know teams that have given away iPads and things like that. If you can't do that, you don't have the budget for it. Is there something else you could put together for them? Can you do an audit of their website? Can you do an audit of their DevOps stack or something?
Oh, what you're value really on can this you... DevOps team? Golly,
I just keep using that. I love as an that.
That's a great. Yeah. Wow, that's a hack right there. Of like, I'll give you a website audit if you take 30 minutes with me.
Give them something. Give them a reason to meet with you, and. You know, talk to your marketing team, and hopefully a lot of marketing events, event marketing folks are listening to this, or enablement folks are listening to this. You know, find a way to do some kind of guerrilla stuff. Like, is there swag you can give away? And I think swag is a bit overplayed. Like, nobody's going to meet with you just because you're going to give them a mug that has your company's name on
it. But an Echo maybe back in 2015.
Yeah, 2015, 2016. But like, what's the thing today? I don't know if you get, like, buy someone an Apple Watch, but that's pretty pricey. But like, I don't know.
That's
you know,
$300 meeting right there.
Get somebody a fancy Shure microphone. I don't know. This is something like that.
I think that it could even be more what I would, you know, this is an interesting thing because my wife did a pottery show in Louisville for the month of December. And these corporations were doing these like Zappos was having their corporate party. And then also Texas Roadhouse was having their corporate party. And there were local vendors at this event. And I think that if they would have given their staff like a coupon to go shop and get something from that event, that would have been very memorable. So sometimes like think out of the box, could be food, could be drinks. And then I really think whenever I'm at conferences, like the best place to meet people is in the outside of the conference room, like in the meeting halls.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
That's where the best conversation's going.
Get them in the coffee area, you know, like coordinate. And that's the thing is I'll end up coordinating a meeting and I'll say, let's just take 15 minutes and we'll do it over coffee. It'll be out in the hallway somewhere. And, you know, here's my cell number. Exchanging cell numbers is always key once you get someone on the hook. So if you let's say you hook someone through LinkedIn and they're interested and they're like, yeah, cool. Yeah. I'll meet up with you at this event in SoCal or Vegas or New York or wherever. Let's coordinate. Cool. Here's my cell phone. Can we move this conversation to text? That way we can make sure we coordinate a time and a place. Coffee's on me, drinks on me, whatever it is. I've done it all, man. I've done, you know, I've met people at the bar. I've met people for coffee. We've bought lunch. We once took people to a casino, which was awesome, and gave them a budget to go gamble. That was really fun.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just
we
cash?
Used to do this just cash budget to go spend at a casino.
Here's really three. How much was the budget?
Oh, geez, I don't know, maybe $1,000 or something.
Per person?
These were C-level executives at, you know, Fortune 500 companies.
Had they already won?
No, they got, the company gave them, no, they were in process. They were early ops or you know, mid-stage ops. So that's the other value of a trade show, too, is if you have someone you're already talking to and they're going to be at the show, it's a great way to move your op further is meet in person. Especially with enterprise, especially with bigger deals.
Okay. You want to hear something from me?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is, I just thought about this. This is the valet and the bellman in me. So you can actually find your ideal customer and you can send them gifts to their room or like send them.
So that's a great play.
It can be very thoughtful. You don't want to be too cheesy or just too cheap, but even sending somebody just a welcome gift is great.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about this on our pipeline episode. Also going back and looking at people who've talked to your company in the past, they might be lower hanging fruit. So try to invite those people. If you see them on the list of attendees at an event, try to get them to meet up with you again, right? Your brand might already be familiar to them, so they might be more likely to grab a coffee with you during the show.
And Jesse, so, I look at this as sort of like a Gary Vee thing of where you're jab, jab, jabbing, and then you're going to right hook. These are jabs. Going to these events are jabs. They're not going to be the right hook. You might hook the person right at the same, they're ready to buy right when you walk up to their table. They just fired their last vendor. Probably not going to happen, but just go to these events and it's great practice.
It's good practice. It's a chance to meet people in person and it's a long game. The key is the money is really in the follow-up after these two. The better you are at building a good impression with somebody, connecting with them either on LinkedIn or getting a business card, however that goes down. And then a week later, hey, Chase, it was so nice to meet you in Palm Springs a few weeks ago. I'm very excited to continue conversations into 2024. Maybe we could find some time to unpack some of the things we talked about or go over some of those and just keep doing that. The follow-up is actually the key for success in this equation. The event does help. It helps you, you know, humanize yourself and get in person with somebody and build a different kind of relationship than what you can build over the phone or on Zoom. But the follow-up is really where the money is. I want to tell another story actually too. So when I was in SDR, there was a guy, a VP of e-commerce that I was reaching out to, and I had been cold calling this guy, emailing him, sending him emails, sending him carrier pigeons. I'm just kidding, but like sending him gifts. Like I was after this guy. He was a VP at a very well-known footwear company. And yeah, I still remember this moment. I'll never forget this. So I had been just chasing the guy for like 6 or 9 months. And then I go to this conference in Chicago, downtown Chicago. I'm at this like hotel lobby standing next to a booth that our company had set up at this event. And I see this guy walk past me, and he and I kind of catch eyes as he's walking by. He stops, completely turns on a dime, looks me right in the face, and he goes, "Jesse." And he comes over and shakes my hand, and he's like, "I know you've been trying to get a hold of me for a long time. It's good to finally meet you." And I was like, I was blown away, man, because you know, I'm an SDR, right? I'm like, you know, this guy doesn't give a shit about me. He's an executive at a big company. And the fact that the cold calling and the emailing and the in-mailing did work, like he clearly saw it. He just didn't respond. But then after that occasion, I was able to actually follow up with him and say, "It was really cool to meet you in Chicago. Can we get some time?" We did get some time. The deal never closed, but we did get a few conversations. Unfortunately, that company, I don't think they exist anymore. And you might know who they are. But yeah, so that was like a really interesting example.
I don't know any shoe companies that have gone out of business.
It was Payless. I'll just name it.
Oh, God.
Old school. So, you know, at the time, they were one of my big target accounts. Like, oh, man, this guy's the VP over at Payless. And it was just so funny because I saw him and I'm like, that's the guy. I've been chasing that guy. And then all of a sudden he turns and locks dead eye, you know, locks me in the eyes and says, "Jesse." And I was like, oh, he knows my name. Cool. Like my outreach actually worked. And he just, you know, didn't get back to me. And it took meeting in person for him to finally have enough rapport to take another meeting with us. So these are super powerful ways to build pipeline, to advance pipeline into later stages, to close deals, and really build very long-term relationships. There's still, like I said, still people from some of these events that I attended, even as an SDR, that I keep in touch with. Because mm-hmm. once you meet someone in person, that's your Rolodex. That's real people that you have a real impact on, and they, you know, you build a real trust with these people. So this is great stuff. What else you got?
So one thing that I've actually learned in my history is having great gifts that are extremely unique. And being from Louisville, I think one of the best gifts you can give, like a speaker or if you really want to wow somebody, is a Louisville Slugger baseball bat personalized with their name.
How much does that cost?
I think $120 shipped to their
door. That's not too bad. Yeah, you include that in your CAC, your customer acquisition cost. It's not too bad, $120.
Or a bottle of bourbon. I mean, you could do a lot of people. Bourbon is really becoming popular, and people are loving bourbon.
Yeah, yeah. Gifting is huge. I think there's probably some listeners out there that are going to say, "Oh, it must be nice to work for a company that spends this kind of money on events and gifts and swag and all that. What do I do if I'm at a Series A startup or a seed series startup and we don't have that kind of budget and I still need to go and build pipeline from a show?" I'll go back to just what I said a minute ago. You got to do some guerrilla marketing. Really think about what the motivation is for your buyer to be there. And can you create some piece of value for them that's free?
Exactly.
And that might be like, it might be a PDF document that's an audit of their website or an audit of their op stack or, I don't know, an audit of their marketing funnels or something like that. There's probably something that you and your team could put together for people a printout of some sort that's free, or, you know, next to free, right? I guess printing does technically cost like a couple cents or whatever, a buck. But you could probably put together some free value that you can give them that gives them an incentive to meet with you at these shows.
One other thing I'm going to say is have some cash on hand just in case. You never know what's going to happen. Mm. So always have some cash in hand.
Wait, why is that? I don't usually have cash ever.
Well, if you need to sneak into, if you need to go past certain gatekeepers, a 20, 100 will get you past the gatekeepers a lot of times. If you need to get in somewhere, just hand the valet $100 and they'll just get you in there.
I guess I was going to say, yeah, for tipping valets and stuff.
But doormen, whatever, if there's like a, you know, you're in Vegas and you're trying to get into a place, $100 might get you into where you need to get into.
Dude, a few years ago, I was at a company that, startup company in Austin, and we did our own user conference. So it was a huge event, and obviously it was a huge chance for the sellers because they did it locally. People would come in from all over the country to Austin and meet up, and it was this big kind of IT conference. And so the company would monetize the event by obviously having people pay to come, but they also would sell sponsorships to partner companies. And we sold, I'm not joking, the urinal cakes for the men's room. This is true. We sold that ad piece, and obviously you're going to get a lot of eyeballs and a lot of other things on that sponsorship, but anything's possible. You know, get eyeballs on your stuff. If that means leasing out your urinal cakes at the event to your vendor. I know it's really gross.
Who bought that?
I am not naming names on this one.
You
I don't
think
know.
They got a sale from that? Their DevOps team got a sale?
There was probably 1,000 people, and I'm going to be honest that this conference probably leaned a little more male because of the category that it was in, which was IT DevOps, or sorry, IT, not DevOps. I'm not going to belabor the DevOps. It was like sysadmin. It was like a sysadmin conference. And the main persona was like, yeah, systems administrators, which, you know, like there's probably some great female ones out there, but the vast majority are males. And so an event like that, where it's, you know, very high male ratio of attendees, having an ad on the urinal cakes is probably a pretty smart move. You're going to get a lot of, good impressions.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jesse, anything else?
Guerrilla marketing.
I like guerrilla marketing. So
yeah,
I would say that we probably missed some things. So if we did, let us know. But really I would just challenge anybody that's new in your career. And also something I was thinking of is this doesn't just have to be for sales. This could be for recruiting. So this could be looking for your mm-hmm. next role and just networking up.
There's no downside to going to one of these and networking with people, because you might find your next job. You might find your next massive deal. You're definitely going to at least generate some pipeline from it, and you're going to build long-term connections. I think in closing, I just want to make sure that we share some actionable stuff very quickly, just summarize the actionable stuff. Like, you've got to go dig and find who's going to these shows. You have to let go of your standard sales pitch and try to use your understanding of human psychology and focus on the things that are in it for this attendee. Why are they going to the show in the first place? And how can you improve the experience for them and add some value along the way? Like, what's in it for them? Mm-hmm. You can't forget that. And then just be persistent, and the key being follow up after the event. There's no point in going to an event and meeting a bunch of your target buyers or networking with your peers if you're not going to follow up and stay connected with them for the long haul. Use the fact that you've met them in person as a catalyst for building a very long-term, slower relationship. And so I think those are hopefully the biggest takeaways. I know there'll probably be a lot of questions. So you should jump into our Slack channel, and Chase and I will be available to, you know, take your questions either in the public channel or DM us the questions you might have around specific events you're going to, how to tackle those, how to make sure you're getting tons of meetings at those and generating some pipeline and deals from that investment, because it's a big investment. These are not, in some cases, inexpensive for your company to pay for sponsorships or booths at some of these things.
Great episode. And I would challenge anybody to get in touch with their local Chamber of Commerce will also put some notes in there with the SBDC. And then if you do have social anxiety, which I know sometimes I have social anxiety, something that helped me just to start to speak in front of people was Toastmasters. And that's a great resource as well, which is just in public speaking.
Are those free?
So the first few meetings are free, but then you got to join the chapter, which I think it's only like $80 for 6 months.
That's not too bad.
Huge investment. It's a great investment. It's probably the best investment I did. And they have virtual and in person.
And last thing there, you may find that some of these events you have to pay for. And in some cases that might be out of your own pocket. Whenever you can, I think approach your employer and ask if joining a trade organization that's going to help you build pipeline is a worthwhile investment. I think you might be surprised at some of your leadership's willingness to pay for that kind of thing. I know in my own case, I went to a show in October that was more focused on sales. It wasn't focused on the buyer personas that I sell to in my day role, but I still paid out of pocket for it. And it was worth it, right? Because it was a chance to actually get up on stage and be part of a panel. And I was able to network with a bunch of people that are, you know, longer term fans of this podcast. So just put yourself out there. Hit us up in our Slack channel. Let us know if you have any questions. And thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in.